Ladies and gentlemen, it is officially here. The Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. It's our new bonus item when you sign up, renew, or upgrade to a yearly EPP membership at ghostpodcast.com.
What does EPP stand for? Extra Podcast Person.
Hurry, supplies are limited of the Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask, a flask with our logo engraved right on it and autographed by us. When you sign up for a yearly EPP membership, you'll not only get a spirit flask, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP bonus episodes, advanced access to regular episodes of the show weeks before they go public, exclusive video content, a fast pass to get your stories to us before everybody else, and so much more.
Plus, you get a month free, too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Sign up for the yearly EPP membership, get all of that, help keep us on the air, and enjoy your spirit flask. Claim yours now at ghostpodcast.com. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Today, we hear real ghost stories from real people. Stick around.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You, of course, can email your audio file, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com, or just go to our website and fill out the form there and send in your story that way. We'd love to hear from you. Like the show even more, become an EPP, extra podcast person. Support the show, $5 a month. Get access to all of our advanced episodes weeks before they go public and the bonus EPP episodes every single week at ghostpodcast.com. It is the time of the year, Carol, where I'm sitting here in this office, and you know, the heat's on now, but I'm wearing just jeans and a shirt, but I get hot really quick. I get cold really quick. It's uncomfortable. I love this time of year, but I'm never comfortable this time of year.
Tony, you sound like a menopausal woman.
I think maybe I am. I'm having hot flashes. Jeez, I don't know what.
Is that T-O-N-I, Tony?
It is today. I'm listening to some Tony is what you go. So yeah, there you go. It's one of those days where it's somewhat warm, but it's not really. And yeah, anyway, so there you go.
Well, that's what happens.
That happens once I've become a woman of a certain age.
Now that you're in menopause.
Well, I'm glad we established that. I'm glad we kind of got.
We should have had this conversation a while ago. It wouldn't have freaked you out.
So much shit makes sense now. So much shit's making sense. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump over to our first caller of the day.
If you start crying for some random reason,
it'll happen.
We get it.
Rick, do you watch The Walking Dead at all?
No.
Okay. Well, Rick Grimes, who's like the main character on there, I've watched this show now from the beginning. It appeared he died because he's leaving the show. And I will admit, when I was watching The Walking Dead last night, I did tear up a bit when I thought Rick Grimes had died. And then all of a sudden he's rescued by Trash Lady and taken into a helicopter and flown away. And it turns out they're going to make like a 3-movie series with him wherever the hell the helicopter flew him off to. So, but I got a little emotional while
been
I was
saving all those episodes up to binge watch them. We apologize for giving that away.
You're kind of fucked. So there you go. That's how it works.
You know, like that's one of those shows that I didn't start watching at the beginning. And here's my problem. Then everybody talks about how great it is. And then I look at everything I've missed and I'm overwhelmed. I'm like, I'll never get this done.
Oh,
that's a project. There's no way I'll ever get caught up on.
I think I started watching it at about season 4 or so. And I thoroughly enjoyed being able to binge through the first 4 seasons on Netflix. And I watched it too much. And then I got to like season, I don't know, six or so. And then Jen's like, oh, I want to watch that. Like, well, we kind of got to start at the beginning. So I started at the beginning with her again on it. And now we're both up to the same point with the current episodes. But it's worth it. It's a fun show. I enjoy it. And there's
my goal in this life at some point is to binge watch something I have never done.
You've never binge watched anything?
No, I don't have the time.
Yeah, that's true.
That's my problem.
Yeah.
I need a work-life balance.
There's, did you watch The Making of Murderer when that came out? The Stephen Avery thing on Netflix? That was a big thing.
I did not.
That
I listened to Serial.
Yeah.
Didn't they do, what was it they did that, they talked about that guy. It was on some podcast.
It was on something. I don't remember what, but there was a podcast extension.
Yeah, it wasn't Serial.
Yeah. But there's a season two now of that, and I started watching that the other day. Little bit of a stretch, I think, in some things, but it's still good. So I was surprised to see a season two, but that story just keeps going deeper and deeper.
And I was chatting with some people on the Real Ghost Stories Online group on Facebook.
Yeah.
About that show Manifest.
Yes.
And I kind of like that one.
It's not bad.
It could jump the shark at any time.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, I'm intrigued by it.
I just wonder, how long can it go? How many seasons can you get out of that show?
Well, it really seems like 10 episodes. But
yeah, exactly.
So I don't. That's where I get a little concerned. I'm like, I don't know where they can really go with this.
Yeah, I have another one. Well, let's go to a call. I'll talk about another show that I think you may enjoy after this. Let's hear your story. Hi, okay. You are on the air.
Hi, this is Glenna from Ohio again. I'm trying to get all of my stories in before. Unfortunately, I go completely blind and I can't use the phone anymore. But I thought I'd tell you this right here. I have to go back a little bit. It's not so much as a ghost story, but a really pretty story that I think you might get a kick out of a little bit. It's called, I dubbed it The Coming Home. And I'll go back a little bit. My sister had this friend, Irene, and it was her best friend. And I became friends with Irene's mother, Shirley, because Shirley's mom had died. There was a lot of age difference between us, but we became real good friends. Her mother had died, and she was scared being by herself. So I'd work third shift and go during the day to stay with her so she wouldn't be so nervous being by herself. Well, one day she invited me to go to church with her. So I said, I do third shift. I'll go and check out her church. And it's a good thing I did because I fell in love with the church and the people that were in it. And especially I met the pastor and his wife. And I had never met anybody like the pastor. He had a light about him. He was happy. You know, you never heard any cross words out of him. If you stepped out of boundaries, he would give you a stern, but not really cross. He'd just tell you. But just to put the story shorter, I became close to him and his wife. As a matter of fact, I got to be nicknamed. I spent more time with them than I did my own parents and Shirley combined. They started calling me, I'm telling their last name, Baby Cersei. And I thought it was cool. I know the pastor's baby brat. And I went ever with him, and I was extremely close to him. We'd go to revivals together and church and go out to eat afterwards. And I got to meet so many people through them that it enriched my life a whole lot. Well, speed on into the future. He had diabetes real bad, like me, and he had to have a toe amputated, and he was having trouble of balance and everything. And little by little, diabetes got bad on to where he got hospitalized. And I got to see him one time in the hospital. My sister, God bless her soul, she's passed away too now. But she took me and I got to see him and it made him really, really happy. Well, sorry, get back to the story real fast. The last time that he was in the hospital, he was everybody's, it's just a personality he has. Everybody at the hospital totally adored him. And they was continuously checking on him to make sure he was all right. And he'd go, yeah, I'm okay, you know, God bless you. And he'd be reading his Bible or just singing. He liked to sing just a little bit, whatever. But one day, the nurse was going by checking on him. And she heard him talking, just talking away to somebody. And she's like, there's nobody, you know, there. But he was just talking away. He knew these people. Very familiar, and not just a person, people. And she says, oh, well, she says, I'm just going to go on down this way, and I'll check on him a little bit later. Well, breaking my heart now, I'm just talking about it. When she come back, he had passed away, and he just went to sleep. And what we figured out, she went for the conversations and everything. He was seeing his mom. And his dad, and all of the loved ones that he had saw that had passed away before he, you know, that he knew and everything. And they had come to greet him, to take him on home. Well, I better get off the phone. It's still, like you can tell in my voice, it still affects me to this day. But I do know that there'll be people there to meet us. When it actually is our time. And of course, I've got more stories, but I'll tell you, I'll pest you more later. I've dubbed myself the pest. Well, God bless you guys. Thank you for this thing. I enjoy it so much. Talk to you later. Bye.
855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Okay, so the other show that I wanted to tell you about, The Sinner. Have you seen The Sinner?
No.
It's on USA.
No, I have not seen that one.
It's now up to two seasons, and it's kind of like a murder. There's supernatural elements to it. It's not like zombies or anything like that. It's just really creepy, weird, makes you wonder what the hell's going on. It's like a psychological thriller. It's a good one. It's another one where we watched the first season of it and I was really happy to see there's a second season. And for the most part, it changes up almost all of the cast except for the police chief. It's a good one if you're into kind of the dark, weird shows. I mean, it's almost, there's elements of Fargo-ishness to it.
And I liked Fargo.
Yeah, it's along those lines. And there's been a handful over the years that kind of have this feel to them. And it's about 10 episodes a season, but it's a good one. And I would recommend, if you like that genre, that's a good one to check out.
I'm going to do that.
No. Let's jump over to this call. Hi, you're on the air. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, Tony. I'm calling in from Las Vegas, Nevada. I've called in a few times before. I was listening last week or 2 weeks ago, and somebody called in about a farting ghost, and you had said that you were pretty sure somebody else had called about a farting ghost before, and that was me. When I was just home alone with my 4-month-old daughter and something farted behind me. Anyway, it's nice to know that stuff like that happens, that there are really farting ghosts out there. My husband still doesn't believe me. He still likes to, you know, kind of poke fun at the story and say things like, oh, I'm sure it was, you know, the neighbors or whatever. It kind of bugs me that the few experiences I've had have always been when he is not around. So I always just tell him, if you were there, you would know. you would know. It was just an obvious fart. Absolutely a fart, though. So, anyway, I wanted to tell another story about something that happened when I was, I think, about 17 or 18. My dad used to record, shows on TV or movies on TV with those videotapes that, you know, you would put in and push record for a certain time on your VCR. And it had a lot of time. I'm sure you'll remember. It has a lot of time on those tapes, so you can record lots of shows. You can record hours and hours and hours. I swear there had to be like 8 hours of time on those tapes. Maybe even more. I don't know. A lot of space. So my dad used to record things that he liked to watch, like The Golden Girls, I Love Lucy, just random things. And then, of course, movies. I remember we had, like, these are things I've never seen, but when I'd open our little cupboards, I'd read them all, and it was like Romancing the Stone, Crocodile Dundee, like, whatever. So, anyway, one night when I was about 17 or 18, it was like a Saturday night, and I was feeling not super tired, but it was pretty late, so I decided I would put on a movie. So I got in our little cabinet with the movies and looking through, I'm like, okay, what do I feel like? Well, I decided to put in a tape that was like, it said like I Love Lucy on it or The Golden Girls or whatever. It was just some like older sitcom, lighthearted show that I could fall asleep to. So pull it out, I put it in, and I lay down on the couch and I'm watching TV, and well, apparently I fell asleep. And the next thing I know, I wake up to the TV blaring loud, so loud. It was just probably as loud as it could go on the TV. And I looked at the TV, and I've never seen The Exorcist, but I knew right away that that's what was on. It was a priest standing over a person's bed. I think it was a girl in the bed. But anyway, he was standing over the bed and, like, you know, praying or chanting or whatever it is, saying a bunch of crazy stuff. over this possessed person. And it was just so incredibly loud. It was terrifying. So I laid there and I kind of had the blanket pulled up to my chin, and I was just trying to decide what to do because I was so scared. It was such a scary part. And I was really confused at how it was on because I had fallen asleep to, you know, I Love Lucy or whatever. So I was just really confused. Also just, you know, just barely waking up, and then that's what's happening. So I just laid there with the blanket up to my chin trying to decide what to do. Finally, I decided, okay, I need to get up the courage to run up and turn the TV off and just haul it to my bed as quick as I could. So I started sitting up and getting ready to jump up and go run, turn it off. And as I did, the TV went louder than I think is even like possible. I don't even think there was like a button that you could turn it up that loud. So it got super, super loud. So scared the crap out of me. So I laid back down and put the blanket up, this time probably higher, like up by my eyes. And I just thought, I don't know what to do. I was so scared. So I laid there for a couple more seconds and decided, okay, like, I have no choice. I have to get up and turn this movie off. It is so scary. And it just, it felt, the whole room felt evil. It just felt terrible. So, again, I sit up, getting ready to jump up off the couch and run and turn it off. And again, it gets louder. So when I laid back down, it went back down to, like, loud, but not as loud as it was. And then when I sat up again to get up, it went loud, loud, loud again. Just unbelievably loud. So I laid back down, put the blanket up, and finally I just decided, okay, this is it. It's going to get really loud, I'm sure. It's going to be very, very scary, but I'm going to run up and I'm going to turn it off and just run to my room as fast as I can. So I sat up, and of course it got really, really loud, and I actually was too scared to run to the TV, so I, like, just kind of quickly walked to the TV, and with every step I took, it got louder and louder. It was, like, screaming. It was just, like, that priest was just screaming this into the room. It was so terrifying, and like I said, the feeling in the room was just awful, just so horrible. It just felt so evil in there. So finally, I get to the TV and I hurry and shut it. Oh, right before I got there, I forgot about this part. Right before I got there, it went to the black and white salt and pepper static. I probably had like a couple steps left to get to the TV, and it went to the black and white staticky loud shh. And it was just loud, just so loud. My family was home, too. I don't know how nobody woke up, but nobody woke up because nobody came out. And I was so scared. I just turned it off as fast as I could and ran to my room. And the next day, I put the tape back in and rewound it because I wanted to see if... at that part, it did actually, like, you know, maybe end the movie or something and go to the static. So I put the tape in and rewound to that part, and because it wasn't very far, I had turned it off, you know, and it didn't. It just played right through. No black and white, salt and pepper sound. Nothing. It didn't get loud. Nothing. It did nothing. It just acted normal. So anyway. I've never watched The Exorcist to this day. My dad obviously recorded it. That's the only part I've ever seen, is the part that I was, the part that I had to watch because I woke up to it. and I never want to watch it. And I actually, to this day, warn my little kids to never, ever watch it. You know, when they get older and to get to be teenagers, I said, don't watch it. Just don't do it. So... they're actually, like, afraid of it, and they don't even really know what it is. So anyway, that's my story. Moral of the story is, don't watch The Exorcist. It is not a good movie. And I know I've heard a lot of other people say from listening to this podcast that they've had similar experiences with The Exorcist. So I just wanted to call in and tell you mine. All right. Well, have a great day.
I can't imagine a more freaky movie to have accidentally, you know, playing as you wake up, and then for it to get louder and for those things to be happening. That would just be such an unsettling moment.
It's a freaky movie.
Yeah. And
go ahead.
When it came out, because it came out before my time, before I was even born, it was released in theaters. Wasn't there was a lot connected with that where people were claiming, like, oh my gosh, you could be possessed by going and seeing this movie. Wasn't there a lot of hype around things like that with that movie?
I kind of forgotten about that, but I do think there was a lot of, what's the word I want? Like, you know, people fainting and passing out, like hysteria.
Sure.
With that movie. But it is really freaky.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I read the book when I was pretty young, and that was just stupid. Like, I don't know why I thought I needed to read that book at 12 years old, but I did. And, but it, It's just a really disturbing movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the 25th anniversary several years back. So when they put it out, they put in a couple unreleased scenes. And they've got this really freaky scene of, what's her name? Linda Blair. And I met her one day when I was working in rock radio.
Mm-hmm.
She came into the station. I'm like, oh my God, Reagan. And, but she goes down, and it was a stunt person, but she goes down the stairs backwards like a spider, but she's like doing it like a backbend.
Yeah.
So we go to the movie to see it. We're the only two people there. So we sit down. The two center seats, and it was funny because we even debated, is this one center? Is that one center? This one, that one? Ha, ha, ha. So we sat here. This guy walks in with his kid, like his teenage kid, and they literally sat next to us. There's only four people in the entire theater. And when they're walking towards us, and I put my purse in the seat, so he went and sit, like, in the seat next to me. So we watched the movie all together, the four of us.
Did you share popcorn?
No.
Okay.
We just had like green pea soup.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what Linda Blair signed when she was at this rock radio station.
Nice.
Cans of pea soup. But it's just a horribly disturbing movie.
Mm-hmm.
And even watching it again as an adult, like, it's a disturbing movie. But one thing I really like about that woman is that she had that horrific thing happen, but also there's like some ghost that fart around her.
That's true.
Like, it's almost like she's got like some, you know, like 1950s guy who thinks the whoopee cushion thing's funny. Like, so maybe she has like this kind of old timey vaudeville ghost who's like, watch this. I'm gonna fart around her.
What I really enjoyed about it at the beginning was the way she tried to describe a VHS tape, and as if it's some sort of relic of another time and place, where it's like, yeah, it's a VHS tape. It's like, but I get, you know, there's tons of people who never had that, and if you're in your 20s, you probably never dealt with VHS tapes, or maybe your parents did, and that you only kind of saw them on the very tail end, but you never were the one that was pressing record or trying to set up the time to record or taping over things and all that.
Yeah, and only her dad knew that Golden Girls season 3 was actually The Exorcist.
Exactly, and that's a little known fact that nobody realized that was a special Golden Girls episode. It was on a very special Golden Girls. So there you go.
Oh, poor Sophia.
855-853-4802 is our number. Let's do one more call. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear your ghost story. Go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Marianne Lewis, and I live in Allen, Texas, which is just north of Dallas. And I have two paranormal things that have happened to me in my life. One of them is very benign. The other one is super creepy. And since it's October, I'm going to tell you the creepy one. About, it's been a solid 15, 16 years since this happened. And one of my friends said, hey, there's this artist tour in Dallas this weekend. You go and you go to people's backyard studios, or they have a studio in their home, different things like that. And the very last stop on this tour, an old church in Dallas. It's near downtown. And you get up there and it's super ramshackle. You know, there's trees growing up all around it. And it has been converted into what is essentially a commune for artists. And we go in through, there's an iron gate in the front and it has an archway. You go in through there and we walked around and we started to go inside, and you walk in, it's just this huge open area. And there is probably the most disturbing art I've ever seen hanging all over the place. It's really gory. It's really dark. And we kind of looked around and we're like, this is interesting. Some of it was a little more abstract, and like, okay, we'll look at that. And this man comes out from a room in the back, and he's like, hey, are you here for the tour? And we, yeah. And he said, oh, come on in here. I just took some cookies out of the oven. I'll tell you about what we've got here. So we go back to this big kitchen area, and he has these cookies. And he said, oh, you're going to want to try these here. And I thought, no, you never eat something anybody offers you in a creepy place. Or you're like Persephone, and you get to spend 6 months underground. So we just said, oh, no, thanks. We just had lunch. Plus, the whole place smelled like pot. And I was like, eh, I'm not going to want to eat that and fail a random drug test in 2 weeks. So he tells us what he's got, and he's like, oh, you go up these stairs to what was the bell tower, and there's a loft up there where an artist lives. You can go to this other alcove where an artist lives. And don't forget, before you go, you have to go to the garden. Go way back into this corner. It's really neat down back there. You're going to want to see what's back there. And we go up, you know, some stairs to this place where these artists are living. And it is not pleasant. Just, ew, I can't believe people are living like this. And, you know, again, the art is not of any kind of amazing quality. And a lot of it is really dark and creepy. So we go back down and we kind of call out to him, bye, thank you so much. And he said, don't forget, you got to go back to that back corner of the garden. And we're like, okay, thanks. So we stepped out, my friend and I looked at each other, and I was like, well, yeah, she and I both love to garden. We're both into native and adaptive plants and cool things that people can grow in our environment. So we went back there to take a look, and we got back in this corner, and it was just kind of, you know, some little straggly Nandina bushes and an ugly glass garden-looking ball and just nothing particular. So I thought, huh, it's kind of weird. So we turn back around, we make our way through this big yard out to the gate. And as we're going under the iron gate, my friend went out in front of me and I went after her. Just as I get through the gate, I just had this big shiver come all over my body. Ooh, I thought, ah, that's weird. Maybe it's just coming out of this overcast garden into the sunshine on the sidewalk. So for the next few days, I was so crabby. I was picking fights with my boyfriend and just irritated about everything. I was irritable at work, and I just wasn't very pleasant to be around. And 3 or 4 days later, it must have been the next weekend because the garden tour would have been on a weekend. So the next weekend, my then boyfriend and I were going to a wedding. And I loved my dress. I felt really good about the way I looked. Everything was fine. But I kept being just picking at him and, you know, trying to bait him, which is not my style at all. We're in the vehicle going to the wedding, and I'm nagging about something, and he is just still and silent like an irritated person is who's not going to lash back out. And he looked at me and he said, you know what? Why don't you take a minute, close your eyes, and just kind of take some deep breaths and meditate and see if you can get yourself into a place where you're a little bit happier and more like yourself. I just feel like you've got a lot of stress or something going on. So I decided to be nice about it. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll try that. We'll do that because I didn't really like the way I was feeling. And I closed my eyes. We're in the car. And I'm taking some deep breaths and some deep breaths. And again, I had a huge shiver come over my body. And I opened my eyes. And he's driving, but looking, you know, glancing over at me. This grayish green, slimy pallor. It was just like my face, it's all as though I felt my hair turning color, my face turning color, as it went down, it started at the top of my head, and it engulfed me. And it was like slimy, like sticking to me. As it went down over my head and onto my shoulders and across my chest, I looked down at my body. I could see it traveling down my body. And the top of it opened up at my head in the second, you know, in the back side of it came down my body. It was like a big, thick, slimy ring of this stuff coming down over my body. I saw it go down my legs, my knees, to my feet, and it puddled on the front floorboard of the car. And then it slid out the crack between the car door and the car. and I whipped my head around and I watched it go across the shoulder, down the shoulder of the road and into the ditch and like wiggle and slime its way down the ditch, you know, in the direction opposite of which we were traveling. And my boyfriend is glancing at me this whole time. Thankfully, we're not on a real busy road. And he said, I saw that. I said, I felt it and saw it. He said, I felt it too. It felt disgusting in here. It just felt nasty. And we talked about it and thought about it. And I realized as we worked it out, there was a reason that I was told to go back there to that corner of the garden. There was nothing good back there. And whatever it was, followed us to the front, climbed up on the gate, and waited for me to walk underneath of it, and jumped on me. And it hung out with me for about a week. And so grateful that I have been going to meditation class for years and was really able to work on bringing more positive feeling onto myself and was able to push that thing off. And it really was shocking to think, okay, this really did happen, and I really saw it come over my body and leave me and run away. I felt like it was this goblin running back to its master. So that is by far the creepiest thing that's ever happened to me. I don't tell many people about it. You know, my husband knows about it, and I've told a few other people, usually after we've had some wine. But that is my paranormal, creepy, don't know where it comes, but it was nothing good story. I hope this works for you for Halloween or some other creepy day. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye.
All that's going through my mind is, went to a garden party. And because I believe there's some lines in that song that are very similar to what she experienced in the Ricky Nelson song.
Like, and all I'm thinking is, holy shit.
God.
Like, I don't want to go to another art show ever, just in case.
It totally fucks up Final Friday for you now, doesn't it?
Right, because they do that here.
But, I guess the lesson there is go with your gut. If something feels off, even if they're being super friendly, and there might be a lot of pot in those cookies.
But they didn't have a cookie.
Yeah. Thank God.
She said no. Because when she's talking about, then he offered her the cookie. I'm like, don't eat the cookie. No. And she didn't.
No.
But the weird thing is the boyfriend saw it.
Yeah.
Like, that's really weird.
Something really thick was, you know, attached to her.
How is that?
I don't know.
I don't want it.
The fact that
I'd like to know what it is so I can avoid
that
it.
You can even see it, that there's like a physical manifestation is what made that such an interesting story. Is not just, you know, I'm down, I'm feeling something repressing me, and then it's lifted. The fact that there was a physical manifestation of it that was able to leave
her.
She
saw it, and he saw it, and it went out the car door.
Yeah.
And like, what the hell?
That is one hell of a story. Wow. Thank you, Marianne, for calling in and sharing that one. And I get why, you know, not the easiest thing just to bring up when you're chatting. But
the poor girl's never going to go to another art show.
Kind of ruins that for her. And I think for good reason. My gosh. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us today. We really, really do appreciate it. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys. If you're supporting the show as EPPs, we definitely appreciate that. If not, please consider doing that. Go to ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month gets you access to our episodes weeks before they go public. Bonus EPP episodes every single week for you there at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol Hughes and Tony Bruschi, thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.